Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. So I think I know where I'm going over the next couple of years in the preaching schedule. You know I like to go back and forth between New Testament and Old Testament. I just go back and forth. I've kind of done that through most of my ministry. I really like it because I think it gives us a well-balanced diet of the Word of God. You need Bibles. If you don't have a Bible underneath your chair in front of you, it should be a Bible. And you want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, first chapter in the New Testament. So when I came here, we preached through the book of Acts, and then we went to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, then we did 1 Corinthians, then we did Nehemiah. And so after 3 years of being here, so I'm starting my fourth year, I think it'd be great to do a gospel, one of the gospels, just to really focus in on Jesus and his life and his teachings and to lift up the Lord. When I'm done in Matthew, I'm going to do the Ten Commandments. So probably 10 sermons on the Ten Commandments. And then we'll go to the book of Revelation. And I know some of you are like, can you do 2 sermons on Matthew, 1 on the Ten Commandments, and go to Revelation? So, but it's going to be future, okay? We'll get there. Like 3/4 of you said, Pastor, when we did a survey, I want you to preach on the book of Revelation. So it's on the docket, all right? So Matthew chapter 1. Verses 1 through 16 is the genealogy of Jesus. In fact, it says in verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. David, or Jesus, is a descendant of Abraham and King David. Both of those men, godly men, were promised that someone coming from their loins, someone coming from their bloodline, would be the Messiah. Now, how many of you are into genealogy? Okay, about 5 of you. How many of you out here, you could care less? Raise your hand. Okay, about 8 of you. Now, I don't know what the rest of you are, but. So here's, I like this one. Done. Everyone in the family tree has been found, and everything is perfectly organized, including the photos, said no genealogist ever. So. My mother, fortunately, I don't have to be a genealogist. My mother is crazy about it. She has done her line and my dad's line. She's gone to Europe to look at gravestones and look up old records. So she has a whole notebook of all my relatives. So I know I am related to Adam and to Noah. I like this. This is prehistoric Googling before there was internet. Now, some of you younger generation may not know what this machine is. But we have one of these ancient computers, by the way, over by our library, in case you want to go over there. Why, Mark Twain, why waste your money looking up your family tree? Just go into politics and your opponents will do it for you. I like that. And then I like this one too. And this is going to be true as we look at the genealogy of Jesus. If you shake your family tree, watch out for the nuts to fall. So the genealogy of Jesus. So Matthew 1, I want you to keep that because that's the genealogy of Jesus. Put your bulletin in Luke chapter 3 because that's the genealogy of Mary. Right, we got Joseph and Mary. And then you got Jesus, of course. So Matthew 1 is the genealogy of Joseph. Luke 3 is the genealogy of Mary. So just put your bulletin in Luke 3 so you're ready later on. And then come back to Matthew 1. All right, everyone in Matthew 1? Starts with Abraham. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob is the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah is the father of Perez and Hezron, whose mother was Tamar. Perez is the father of Hezron, and Hezron is the father of Ram, and Ram's the father of Abinadab, and Abinadab's the father of Nashon, and Nashon's the father of Salmon, and Salmon is the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, and Boaz is the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, and Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of King David. David is the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, and then Solomon is the father of Rehoboam, and then Asa, and all down Hezekiah, Manasseh, and we'll come back to that because we're going to stop there. So I want to come back to Abraham. And let's just kind of go through the genealogy because there's some fascinating, interesting history that is the human nature of Jesus, how he got his human nature, his connection. So Abraham, and let me give you Abraham here. Abraham is the father of the faith. After the flood, he seems to be the first kind of godly man that comes on the scene, and he really believes the Lord, and because he believed the Lord and followed him, it was credited to him as righteousness. And Abraham was called the friend of God. And that's what I love about our God, is when you get to know him, he becomes not only your heavenly father, but your friend. I have an earthly father, and I mean, for many years he raised me and he was my father, but now, you know, we're friends. I know he's my father biologically, but we're also friends. And I have six children, and I know I'm their father, but as they're getting older, it's kind of neat. I'm friends with my six kids. You follow that? And that's what's neat about God, is he's not only our God, but when we get to know him and walk with him, he becomes our friend. So God says to Abraham and his wife Sarah one day, God says, you know, Abraham, from your loins, from your ancestry, the Messiah will come, the Savior. You, Sarah, will give birth, and eventually the Messiah will come from that. Well, Abraham and Sarah waited a long time, but it didn't happen. And so Sarah says, well, maybe we need to help God out a little bit. I'll give you my handmaiden, Hagar, and maybe that's how we can get a son. And so Abraham says, oh, okay, if you insist. And so he gets with Hagar, and they have a son named Ishmael. Now, I don't know if you know this, but eventually, you know, I guess what's kind of neat about this somewhat is that Abraham was human. He was a sinful man like the rest of us. God said to Abraham, what are you doing? I told you it would be through Sarah that you would have a son. And eventually Sarah does get pregnant and has a son, Isaac. How could you step outside my will and get with Hagar and have Ishmael? And I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but Ishmael's descendants are all the Arab nations. And Ishmael mocked and hated Isaac. There was this conflict. Isaac is a descendant of the Jewish people. Ishmael is a descendant of the Muslim Arab people. And they don't get along with one another. In fact, there's a prophecy in Genesis about Ishmael and his descendants. Genesis 16:12. This is about Ishmael. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. And so here are the descendants of Ishmael. And it's interesting to me. It is like they are against everyone in the world, and everyone in the world is against them. And even among the Arab nations, they're against one another. All because Abraham decided not to follow the Lord's will and to you know, maybe it's this way, to take matters into his own hand. And look at the consequences. Thousands of years later, we are still facing the consequence of Abraham not following what God told him to do. It made Abraham human, I understand. It made Abraham, the father of the faith, a sinful person. But think about that in your own life. When you make poor decisions that you know is not God's will, and you do something outside of God's will, think of the consequences that can occur. Well, Abraham, eventually Sarah gets pregnant, and they have a boy, Isaac. As you know, at one point God says, I want you to offer up Isaac to me as a sacrifice. And Abraham's going to do it, and God says, hold it, don't do it. I have a substitute. But it is clear that God was giving Abraham the whole gospel, that God the Father was saying, someday, Abraham, I will give up my one and only son as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. By the way, the Arab people and the Quran have changed this, and they say, no, Abraham didn't offer up Isaac. He offered up Ishmael. The godly line comes through Ishmael. But the Bible, of course, they changed the Bible. The Bible is already out. The Bible says the godly line comes through Isaac. So Isaac is married and gives birth to twins. This is Abraham's son. Isaac gives birth to twins. The oldest of the twins is Esau, and the youngest is Jacob. Now, Esau, as the oldest son, has the birthright to be in the lineage of the Messiah, of Jesus. But Esau was an ungodly man. He could care less about God. He wasn't interested in church, so to speak. He wasn't interested in studying the Word of God. He didn't want to pray. Who cares about heaven? One day he comes home from hunting. He liked hunting and fishing, and Jacob liked cooking. And he comes home and he says, hey, I'm really hungry. And Jacob has some delicious stew there. And Esau says, give me some of that food. And Jacob says, I tell you what, I'll give you some of this. Ooh, it's so good. I'll give you some of this, Esau, if you give me the birthright that I can be in the lineage of the Messiah in the future. Esau said, oh, you believe that nonsense? Are you kidding? We don't know if there's a heaven or a hell. We don't know if there's God or this Messiah. You can have it because it's probably a bunch of baloney. So here, it's yours. You take it. Give me that stew. It's interesting to me that later on Jesus faces the same temptation. After not eating for 40 days, Satan comes and says, why don't you make these rocks into stone, or these stones into bread? Jesus goes, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Never sell out the blessing of the Lord and of your future. Esau is one of these guys that lives in the present. Who cares about heaven? I'm amazed when I talk to young people, and of course when you're young, you think you're going to live forever, don't you? And so they like, who cares about God and church and Bible? Because I'm going to live forever, and I want my pleasures right now. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. It's so sad when people live godless lives. The blessings they lose out when they get older. Well, Jacob winds up with four wives. Okay, so Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has four wives. And I always love the verse, no man can serve two masters, right? Now, I know Jesus is talking about money and God. But four wives, really? And the wives are in competition with one another. Who can have the most kids? And so Jacob winds up with 12 sons, okay? Which become the 12 tribes of Israel, those 12 sons. And in fact, some of the people in the early service were explaining to me why the first ones were rejected. But the godly line actually comes through son number four, Judah. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. And so the godly line of the Messiah is son four, Judah. Now Judah, it says, becomes the father of Perez and Hezron. They're twins whose mother is Tamar. Now, let me tell you this story about Judah. Judah has three boys. And his oldest boy, his name is E-R. And marries Tamar. And so Tamar is Judah's daughter-in-law. But is so wicked that God puts him to death. No children. But there's a principle in the Old Testament that if you were married to someone as a woman and your husband dies before he gives you a child, you get to marry his brother so you can have a child. And so Judah gives his second son, Onan, to Tamar. And Onan goes, I'm not going to do it. I'm not giving her a child. God drops him dead. Then Judah says, well, okay, Tamar, I know you're pretty upset here. I'll give you my third son. He's a little bit young yet, and just wait and be patient. Well, Tamar's waiting and patient, and years are going by. Tamar's getting older. She's realizing, man, I'm not going to have a kid. I'm not going to have a child. Judah is tricking me. He's not going to give me the third son. And so Tamar, you ever have skeletons in your family? Would anyone admit if you had skeletons? Do any of you have like relatives you don't kind of talk about? This is one of those stories, okay? This is one of those family secrets. So Tamar disguises herself as a woman of the night and gets with Judah, her father-in-law. He doesn't know it's her. And she says, hey, give me some of that, you know, give me your staff and your signet ring, and you can pay me in the future. So they, well, you can imagine that night. Months later, someone comes to Judah and says, Judah, we got bad news for you. Your daughter-in-law, Tamar, she's pregnant. She's obviously been fooling around outside of marriage. Judah's like, you're kidding. We're going to kill her. You bring her in here. We're going to stone her to death. How could she disgrace the family by doing this? So Tamar shows up and, hey, before you kill me, by the way, here's the staff and the ring of the father of it's twins. I don't know if she knew she had twins or not. It's before they had sonogram. Okay. So here's the staff and the ring. And of course, Judah's eyes get real big and he goes, she's more righteous than I am. But I'll tell you what this reminds me of. You realize Judah is ready to have her put to death for being immoral. But you understand he was too? You with me? He's just as guilty? You guys following that? Okay. So in Romans chapter 2, there's a principle. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. That's why we always need to be careful. Do not judge or you will be judged. We always need to be careful because often when we judge others, it's amazing how we're guilty of the same type of sin. Okay? Well, they have Perez, and Perez has Hezron, and Hezron a Ram, Abinadab, and down to Salmon. So Salmon gives birth to Boaz, whose mother is Rahab. So I want to jump down to Rahab. Rahab is a prostitute. She lives in the town of Jericho, and the Israelites are going into the promised land of Israel, and they send spies in first, and they go in to check out Jericho, and Rahab, who's a prostitute, becomes a believer. And she says, you know what? I believe in the God of the Israelites. I believe in Yahweh. I believe in the Lord. And I'm going to help you spies to live, to escape, because Jericho figured out there were spies there. So she helped hide them. And then she says, look, I don't want to die. I'm a believer. And the spies tell her, well, I tell you what, whoever you gather into the room in this wall and you put out a scarlet thread, you will be spared. And of course, the scarlet thread speaks of the blood of Jesus. And so when the Israelites came and marched around Jericho and blew the trumpets and all the walls came tumbling down, except for one wall where Rahab and her family were because they were believers and she gave her heart to the Lord. Now this woman, who's a prostitute, this is amazing. She is so transformed. She is so godly that she actually becomes a woman to give birth of the lineage that leads to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. I tell you what, Rahab, this is her testimony right here. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But praise God, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You were sanctified. You were given this new nature. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, some of those descriptions describe me before I got washed in the blood and before I got a new nature. It describes Rahab. That's what's so amazing about God, is he can take someone. We have these sinful, we're born with a sinful nature that we get from our fathers, and God can transform us. It's so amazing. It's like being born again. You get a new nature when you get saved, and you no longer, you still have that sinful nature that you can battle with, but no longer do you have to be a slave to your sinful nature. You can now live a totally amazing life. And that's the story of Rahab, and that gives all of us, because we're all like Rahab, aren't we? It gives all of us an amazing hope, an amazing truth when we get saved. So, give birth to Boaz. Boaz gives birth to Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Now, Ruth, you know, there's a book in the Old Testament about Ruth. And Ruth is a Moabitess. She's not even part of Israel. She's from another country. She's ungodly. She doesn't follow the Lord. But through the testimony of her husband dies, but through the testimony of her mother-in-law, Naomi, she becomes a believer. Naomi says to her, you go back to your own people and to your gods. And Ruth goes, you know what? I've decided your God is going to be my God. And your people are going to be my people. And where you go, I'm going. And so Ruth has this amazing conversion from being a Moabitess to being a believer. And God, again, a godly woman that God says, this woman now, not only Tamar, not only Rahab, but now this woman so transformed, from her will come the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so this is the verse I thought about with Ruth. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of what? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the end of the age. I love this because Jesus Christ loves people of all nations. Not just, I could just see Jewish people. No, it's just the Messiah for the Jews. But Jesus says, no, haven't you heard that one of my descendants was a Moabitess? Wasn't from Israel. And by the way, Rahab was a Canaanite. She wasn't from Israel either. And Jesus says, I love people from all nations who give their heart to the Lord. So to the 12 disciples who only want to reach the Jews, Jesus was like, no, I want you to reach all people. I want you to go tell all nations about Jesus. In heaven, there'll be people from every language and tribe and nation. And even in his human lineage are people from other nations. It's pretty exciting. Even Americans can get saved. Irish. Well, Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse's the father of King David. The only thing I think about King David is, and I didn't mention this in the first service, oh, there's so much stuff, is King David is the real Cinderella story. Do you know that King David, there are seven brothers. David's the youngest. He's the reject. And Samuel comes and says, you know, Jesse, God has laid on my heart that one of your sons is going to be the king. Whichever one the slipper, well, didn't use slipper, but whichever one I sense. And so Jesse's like, well, it's obviously my firstborn. And Samuel, the shoe doesn't fit. This isn't the one. Well, it's my second one. Doesn't fit. Oh, the third one, fourth one. And finally goes through the six sons. Jesse's like, I can't understand. And Samuel's like, man, I don't get it either. God told me it was going to be one of your sons. And you sure you don't have any other son? Well, maybe when you have lots of kids, it's good we stopped at six. Maybe you forget when you have a seventh. Yeah, I do. Yeah, he's a little punky kid, a shepherd. Yeah, bring him in. The shoe fit. Yeah. So King David, of course, gets with Bathsheba. I feel bad for David because the word of God is now written for all eternity. And it says, David, the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. It's like God says, David, you're never going to forget that you took a woman that belonged to another man. and then you killed her husband. And then they give birth to Solomon. And Solomon starts out with the Lord. He seems to have this wisdom, and he builds a temple for God. But Solomon disobeyed God, and he married women of other religious beliefs. And so those wives turned his heart away from the Lord when he got older. And Solomon built ungodly temples that he worshipped at to all the gods he could think of. And God was disgusted. And from that point on, Rehoboam and many of those kings are so ungodly and compromised and sinful. And it's like, oh, man. Now, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 11. Now, I could go through all those kings, but I'm not going to. That would be months. But verse 11 is the last king before the Babylonians come. God brings the Babylonians to wipe out Jerusalem and to end the kings. And so the last king, verse 11, and Josiah, the father of, and you see Jeconiah, like Greek Hebrew, there's different ways to say it. In the NIV, it has a little footnote A, and at the bottom, you see Jehoiakim, or whatever. It's the same guy. He's the last king, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. This is the last king that the Babylonians come in and destroy Jerusalem. I want you to come to Jeremiah chapter 22. All right, you're done in Matthew, and I want you to come to Jeremiah chapter 22. Because there's a prophecy about this last king, Jehoiakim, that you need to see. Jeremiah 22. Now, after Jehoiakim, there are 14 more descendants until you come to Joseph. But Jehoiakim is the last king of Israel before the Babylonians destroy it. And this king, who's the last king, is ungodly, wicked, rotten, kills people, steals. I mean, he is horrible. And you'd have to read all of chapter 22. The NIV says the judgment against the evil kings. But I'm going to pick up in verse 24. Jeremiah 22, verse 24. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. I will hand you over to those who seek your life, those you fear, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and to the Babylonians. I will hurl you and the mother who gave you birth into another country where neither of you was born, and there you both will die. You will never come back to the land you long to return to. Is this man, Jehoiakim, a despised, broken pot, an object no one wants? This is the Lord speaking. The answer is yes. The Lord's disgusted with this last king. You are a broken pot. Why will he and his children be hurled out, cast into a land they do not know? Listen to this prophecy. Oh, land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as if childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime. For none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the, what? Throne of David. Wait a second. Something's wrong here. God says, this is a word from the Lord, directly from the Lord. And God says, this Jehoiakim, that's the guy that's in Matthew chapter 1, in the lineage of Jesus. God says, this Jehoiakim, no one that is a descendant from him will ever sit on the throne of David. Wait a second. Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. He's going to rule in Jerusalem. How can this, what's going on here? We got a problem because he's in that Matthew chapter 1 in the lineage. He's Houston. There's a problem here. There is no way that Matthew chapter 1 can lead to Jesus, because that king, none of his descendants are ever going to sit on the throne. And what is the problem? What is the answer? It's amazing the accuracy of the word. Well, Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of who? Of Joseph. Did Jesus get his human nature from Joseph? No. Jesus is God and he is man. Where did Jesus get his human nature from? From Mary. From Mary. You see, Mary was a virgin. And the virgin will be child and the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. By the way, so you technically understand this, even in Genesis chapter 3, when God was talking to Adam and Eve and Satan, God said to Eve, a seed coming from you, a seed of the woman will crush you, Satan, ultimately. Even in Genesis 3, God was, it wasn't the seed from Adam. He didn't say, Adam, your seed. He went to Eve, a seed coming from you will eventually crush Satan. Technically, theologically, I want you all to understand, we all have fathers and mothers, okay? There's only one virgin birth that I know of. We all have fathers and mothers, and the sinful nature is inherited from your father, from the father's side. So Jesus was a virgin born from Mary, and that's why he was born without original sin, without a sinful nature. Because the sinful nature comes through Adam's, through the father's line, okay? So all your sinful natures you have, it comes from the father, your father. So, but Jesus was born with Mary, so he gets the human nature, the promise to Abraham, to King David, down to Mary, and that's how he gets his humanness, but God the Father, he is God as well. He is God and he is man. Look at Luke 3. Look at Luke 3. This is the genealogy of Mary. So the question is, where does the genealogy change from Joseph and Mary? Because they're both descendants of Abraham and they're both descendants of King David. Now you got to go backwards. In Matthew, the genealogy starts with the oldest and goes down to the youngest. So that would be like me saying, my grandfather was Joseph, my father was Joseph, I'm Joseph, my son's Joseph, and he only has two daughters so far. But you could go the other way. You could start with my two granddaughters to my son, to me, to my father, to my grandfather. Mary's genealogy goes backwards. So I want you to jump to verse 33 of Luke chapter 3. It's going to be backwards, just so you understand that. Actually, verse 34, I want you to start. This is Mary's genealogy. Do you see Abraham? Can you find Abraham in verse 34 in Mary's genealogy? Do you see it? I want to hear an amen. Okay. So then you see Abraham. Do you see Isaac before that? Okay, then Jacob, Judah, Perez, Ram, Abinadab, Nashon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Jesse. Then do you see David? You got David? Okay. What's the next name after David? Nathan. With Joseph's genealogy, who comes after David? Solomon. Bathsheba had four sons. Solomon, of course, became the king as the... Actually, Bathsheba pulled a lot of strings to make Solomon the king, but ungodly. But Bathsheba and David had another son named Nathan, which is very interesting to me because Nathan, you know that the prophet that confronted David about his sin, his name was Nathan? And I have no doubt that Bathsheba and David decide to name one of their sons Nathan after the prophet. The godly line goes through that son down to, it doesn't go through the wicked, evil kings of Solomon on down. And of course, God says, the last king, no one from this lineage, no one is ever going to sit on my throne. I am sure that really bothered the Jewish people. Do you understand if you were Jewish, you'd be like, how does the Messiah come? Because the Jewish people think the Messiah is going to come through this royal line. But Jeremiah says it's not going to, I'm sure the Jewish people are like, ah, what's going to, you know. But the godly line goes down through Nathan to Mary to Jesus. Well, I know, I got to close. So some people say to me, well, Pastor Joe, do you study genealogy so you know how you're connected to Jesus? Do you know your connection through thousands of years down to your present? And I go, I praise Lord, I have some good news for you. How the genealogy from Jesus goes on. Jesus only has brothers and sisters. There are no other relatives. The Bible says that when you give your heart to Jesus, you have the right to become a son or daughter of God the Father, and Jesus is like your big brother. Jesus, God the Father, has no grandsons. You can't say, well, let's see, my parents follow the Lord, and so they're sons and daughters of God. I don't follow the Lord, but I'm connected to my parents, so I get to go to heaven because I'm like a grandson of God. God says, I don't have any grandchildren or great-grandchildren or a husband that says, well, I know my wife's really godly, and so I'll probably get to heaven because I'm married to that godly wife, and she's a daughter of God, so I get to go in. God says, no, I don't have any son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws. The only ones that I connect with directly, forget about the genealogy, are those who give their heart to the Lord. I adopt you as sons and daughters directly to me with Jesus as your brother. Isn't that pretty? I think that's amazing good news. Let's look to the Lord. Father, I'm looking forward to the day, someday, when we get to go to heaven and we get to talk with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Nathan, godly men and women who were not perfect. Some of them made horrible mistakes, but they were all men and women who followed you, gave their heart to you, and were in the godly lineage. Lord, may we be faithful as godly people, because you are our Heavenly Father as well. Bless us as we close out with this song. In Jesus' name, amen.